This election, Absolute is reminding every American to prioritize voting over everything else. Yes, even drinking alcohol. So whatever you do, vote first, drink second. Remember, your vote has the power to shake or stir the election. Make it count. Absolute. Drink responsibly, vote responsibly.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, October 8th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. We've been digging into the House Antitrust Subcommittee's report on big tech. The committee wrapped up its investigation earlier this week, and it concluded that some of the biggest U.S. tech companies have monopoly power. Yesterday, we looked at the initial findings, and today we're going to go a little deeper, and we're going to focus on Amazon. Our tech editor, Bradley Olson, will help us do it after these headlines. Facebook has announced several new policies meant to address concerns ahead of the U.S. election in November. The company said it would stop running all social issue, electoral, and political ads after the polls close on Election Day in order to cut back on confusion and stop the spread of misinformation as votes are tallied. It's similar to a measure Google announced a couple of weeks ago. Facebook also said it would update its policies to ban implicit calls to engage in poll watching when it's clear the goal is to intimidate voters or election officials. TikTok is working on a potential plan B in case its preliminary deal with Oracle and Walmart doesn't go through. We report that a low-profile London-based investment firm has revised an offer for the company several times in recent weeks, based on feedback from the CEO of TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, and his advisors. The architects of the bid are positioning it as a long-shot backup option in case the deal already on the table in the U.S. with Oracle and Walmart doesn't go through. President Trump approved that deal in principle last month, but there's no guarantee that regulators in the U.S. or China will sign off. And the European Union's top antitrust watchdog says it's accepted a settlement from the U.S. chipmaker Broadcom, included commitments from Broadcom to stop using a certain type of exclusivity arrangement that the EU said was anti-competitive. The settlement came after the bloc's competition czar used what's called an interim measure, basically an injunction, to force Broadcom to stop using the contested agreements while it was under investigation. Since the interim measure was successful, the czar said she'd be making more use of the power as she investigates other companies for potential antitrust violations, including Google, Apple, Amazon, and Facebook. Speaking of antitrust, we've got more learnings from one of the U.S.'s probes into big tech. We'll get into that after the break.
This election, Absolute is reminding every American to prioritize voting over everything else. Yes, even drinking alcohol. So whatever you do, vote first, drink second. Remember, your vote has the power to shake or stir the election. Make it count. Absolute. Drink responsibly, vote responsibly.
Earlier this week, the House Antitrust Subcommittee wrapped up its months-long investigation into big tech. Yesterday, we talked about the broad strokes. The committee concluded that the biggest tech companies had too much market power and that they stifled competition and innovation. Since then, we've been digging into the 449-page report, and we're learning more about how the panel came to its conclusions about specific companies. Today, we're going to talk about Amazon. The committee argued that Amazon was a monopoly and that it had used its position to become a gatekeeper in the e-commerce space. Here to talk more about this is our tech editor, Bradley Olson. Brad, thanks for joining me.
Happy to be here.
Okay, so what were the committee's overall conclusions about Amazon's market power?
Well, there were a few things that they looked at. Some of them deal with Amazon's treatment of third-party sellers and how they've accumulated data and then how they use that data. You know, there's one comment from somebody that the committee interviewed that said Amazon is really a data company that just happens to sell stuff. You know, and so one of the things they looked at a lot is how the company competes and how a lot of third-party sellers accuse Amazon of copying their very successful products, you know, for their own brand. So that was one of the things, but there were multiple, you know, things that they looked at. They looked at Amazon's cloud computing business. They looked at other aspects of the company and how, basically how it competes and how it uses its power. Another key point that they made in the committee report is sort of going over how big Amazon is. You know, that's a super important question when it comes to antitrust issues. And a lot of times Amazon will highlight the fact that it's you know, just makes up about 40% of U.S. retail sales. And the committee said that the, you know, the more relevant metric to look at was the percentage that Amazon is of online shopping, you know, what they call U.S. e-commerce. And so in that sense, Amazon is much larger. And the committee was sort of arguing that even though a widely used number is like about 40% of those sales, there are other indicators that would suggest it's much, much higher, especially in certain product categories.
Okay, so a lot of threads there. And, you know, some of them the Journal has produced its own reporting on, which we've talked about on the show. And I want to really get into what's new here. So let's start with that issue that you mentioned of copycat products. What did we learn there?
So Amazon, one of the things that the company has said in the past is that the main reason that they are a wholesaler or a manufacturer or they have their own brands is that they want to make sure that prices are low for consumers. And so Amazon has maybe 100,000 products that it sells in some form under its own name. And so a lot of people that sell on the site are concerned that Amazon, if they have a really good product, Amazon will eventually copy it or produce something similar to it and then reduce the price so much that they can't really have any profit. And so one thing that was new, I mean, that's something that we reported in April and had a lot of, you know, indications that people at the company had kind of used seller data in ways that the company says that it prohibits. What was new is just there were other examples that the committee brought up of this practice. There was one example of a company that I believe was selling apparel that's often used by like firefighters and construction workers, and they had a really successful item. And the report didn't specify what the item was, but then said that, you know, they woke up one day and Amazon was selling the exact same item under its own brand and, you know, had reduced the price so much that there was, it was like below the manufacturing cost. There were just additional examples of this practice that I guess we had looked at in the past.
So there was also the claim that Amazon blocked access to ads for rivals in search. How did the committee get to that conclusion?
Well, the committee looked at other examples in which people have to compete on Amazon's platform and compete against Amazon on that platform. And so it was similar in that regard. And I remember, I think one of the most, the pithiest comments about this was made by somebody the committee interviewed who was at Google. You know, Google has a competing product with Amazon. They have a smart speaker product. And Amazon, of course, has the Echo speakers that are powered by Alexa. Google, I think, has not been allowed to sell its smart speakers on Amazon's website for some time. And then also, you know, there are terms on the site that sort of advantage Amazon's devices. And so what the Google executive said is that it's like trying to fight a shark on a surfboard. You know, beating Amazon is like trying to, you know, on its site is like trying to fight a shark on a surfboard. So it's just a, it was a pithy comment that kind of came out of the report. But I think that in this regard, there were just other examples of how Amazon had kept others from kind of advertising on its site or using its site in a way that the committee sort of suggested represented that they, you know, were not operating a level playing field. So it was somewhat similar to, you know, some of the things that the Journal had reported recently.
Okay, and then finally, the committee said that Amazon had replicated some of the startups that it had met with. What about that claim?
Right, so what the committee looked at was just examples of, you know, what they call the Alexa ecosystem, right? And so in Amazon has kind of venture capital, and Jeff Bezos himself has long been known for investing in early startups. So the company kind of does this as a practice, but there's something that they call the Alexa Fund. And the Alexa Fund was just meant as an incubator to kind of, you know, facilitate the widespread use of, you know, Alexa, this sort of AI assistant, you know, in a number of different products. And so the committee, in addition to this, just, you know, they made the suggestion that this has also happened, you know, at Amazon. And it was similar to some of the Journal's findings in an earlier story, which were just showed how there were a number of times when, even times when Amazon had invested in a startup as part of the Alexa Fund and then ended up, you know, producing something very similar to that startup and competing with it.
So how has Amazon responded to the report and to these specific allegations?
Okay, so Amazon said initially, you know, as it related to the what company employees did in terms of the use of seller data, you know, to launch products that were viewed as competing with their sellers, you know, they said that they don't do this as a practice, it's against company policy, and they launched the internal investigation. When it comes to, you know, the I guess, allegations related to the VC fund and investing in startups. You know, they just said that they don't do this. And Amazon, in a way, has also pointed to its track record of innovation. And, you know, Alexa and the smart speaker is sort of seen as one big example of that. And then a final example, too, is just, you know, related to the advertising. Amazon just said that a lot of, you know, companies and platforms are kind of able to choose how they want to operate. And so they didn't really directly address a lot of those allegations, but they sort of, in a way, just said that, you know, there are examples of this all throughout retail.
So what policies has the committee recommended to address their concerns when it comes to Amazon?
It's very hard to know exactly what it would look like in the end, right? This is a very early stage of these proposals. But the thinking and the understanding of a lot of people around this is that Amazon would not be able to compete with its sellers. You know, that would be one of the results. Basically, the idea that, you know, you operate the highway and that's all you're supposed to do. And I think that's one of the major recommendations that I think would have really a huge impact on Amazon. You know, what's noteworthy about it, and I think there was some reporting on this that we did too, that our colleagues in Washington, D.C. did, but they kind of showed that there was some disagreement on the committee about this. You know, to do the investigation, it started out very bipartisan, but I think some of the Republicans on the committee sort of disagreed with the recommendations or the scope of the recommendations and thought there were maybe smaller scale things that might be done that wouldn't necessarily harm consumers.
And, you know, reminding listeners here that this report is not legislation, it's just recommendations. But I wonder if it gives us any indication about how lawmakers might approach regulating Amazon and big tech in the future.
Well, I think it's an indication of how Democratic lawmakers would do that, you know. And so I think the question that looms over all of this is just the election. And so I think there's an anticipation at a lot of the companies that if, you know, Democrats win the presidency and the Senate, then I think that this would probably get treated more seriously. There could be a lot more activity depending on the election. And if there's not, certainly among Republicans, there has been interest in reining in big tech, but I don't know that it's necessarily been as organized. It seems like it's been somewhat ad hoc. And the party also seems really very concerned about the question of bias on big tech platforms and whether, you know, their conservative views are sort of being suppressed, which is, I guess, relates to power, but doesn't necessarily seem like it connects as easily with monopoly or antitrust issues. So I think a lot depends on the election. And, you know, if you can predict that, then, you know, more power to you.
All right. Our tech editor, Bradley Olson, thank you so much for joining me.
Happy to join you. Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. We've got more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.